Always hitter. Always hitter.
Yep.
Fireworks.
With no beeping.
Fireworks in the base of Tartora.
Next to the fugue, we will talk about the sun, that's the fugue of Pidgin Abed. We'll do a little bit of introduction to the Ben Shabbos, and we'll talk about from the Sigi of Kiddush's point of view. So the Gemara says in Chavtes Melaf, of Del Sominol, and how do you know that a father has an obligation to be called his son? Siv ko b'chor b'necha tifter. That's the Kiddush of Apostle. Ve'echa v'lo parke avua, one of the father didn't do the mitzvah Pidgin Abed like he's supposed to, mechai kiu b'mitzvah kei. So how do you know that the son has a chiyuv to be paid himself? The sif father sifter. So the pasuk from Parshas Korach it says father sifter. So that teaches us that there's a chiyuv on the person himself. The ihi menolam dolam. How do you know that a woman doesn't have an obligation to do pidyon aben? Sif father sifter. For jerusha kosher mitzvah. Kosher mitzvah lifas zatzmo. Only one who has a chiyuv to be paid themselves. Mitzvah lifas zacherim. They have a chiyuv to be paid with the son. Whereas a woman doesn't have a chiyuv to be paid herself, only someone who other people who father would have been chayav to be paid that has a chiyuv to be paid themselves. So the Avakoch Chol B'chol B'necha Tiktah B'necha B'lov B'nosah. So at the end of the day, the Gemara tells us basically that there are a few things you have to keep in mind. You have to keep in mind the father's fear towards the child. You have to keep in mind the person's fear themselves. You have to figure out whether that person goofed had a fear to be niftai by somebody else. At the end of the day, the mitzvah pidyon haben only applies to ben, doesn't apply. There is no mitzvah pidyon habas. So this Gemara sounds very similar to the Gemara that we spoke about last week concerning Mila, but the Gemara lines up the two different levels of obligation. The Gemara says that the primary obligation to Pidyon Aben is that to do it, the father is supposed to do it to the son, and if for whatever reason that didn't get taken care of, so then the son has to do it himself. So that really should remind us of the Sugi about Mila, where also the Gemara said that the first and foremost chiyuv, the father does it. First and foremost, chiyuv is the father supposed to do it, the way he likens that, but the father is supposed to be now the son. If for whatever reason the father doesn't do it, then the son has to be now himself. So there is, of course, a middle step that existed in the sugya of Mila that doesn't exist in the sugya of Mila. Then you really have to take note of when you read the Gemara. So when it comes to Mila, the Gemara has three distinct things. The Gemara started out that the chiyuv is on the father. If the father doesn't do it, then the Bezin doesn't. The Bezin doesn't do it, then the person does it himself. But it comes to Pidyon Aben, so that middle step is missing. It comes to Pidyon Aben, the Gemara just starts out with the chiyuv of the father. The father doesn't do it for whatever reason. Then the child, the son, eventually has to do it. And clearly that middle ground, that middle stage, the obligation of Bezdin doesn't exist. Why is there this discrepancy? Why is there this distinction? It's based on supremacy. When it comes to Bris Mila, there's a Pasuk Kimo Lechem Chozach, which is a Mechayev and Klal Yisrael, Mechayev and Bezdin, to make sure that all the Arelim are taken care of. When it comes to Pidyon Aben, there is no such chiyuv, so there is no chiyuv on Klai, so there is no chiyuv on Beis Din. So even though it's clear from the Gemara that there's no chiyuv on Beis Din to do a Pidyon Aben for a child who hasn't yet been patoy, maybe it's a nice thing to do anyway. Maybe it's the appropriate thing to do anyway. Maybe we should take the initiative and do the pidgin haban on behalf of this child. Yeah, because if we don't do it, so who knows what's going to happen? Maybe the kid's going to forget to do it. The kid will never find out what they're doing this for. Maybe the kid himself will be not from later in life, so who knows? So maybe even though there's no formal obligation on days to do a pidgin haban on behalf of all the kids in their midst who have not yet been partoy, maybe it would still be the appropriate thing. Maybe it's an eitz ha-toivah that it would be a good idea. Or maybe there's some reason to believe that it's not such a good idea. So what's that halacha? So that's what we're going to try to deal with a little bit today. The missing link, this middle stage that doesn't appear in the Gemara as a Torah's Chiyuv, is there any reason to believe that Beis Din should be doing it? Is there any reason to believe that Beis Din shouldn't be doing it? Is there any reason to believe that even if Beis Din would try to do it, they couldn't do it? So we're going to try to figure this out today. So there is a very, very strange sheet of the Rambam that appears in Simin Shin Hei in Yerodeya. It has its source in a Rivash, but as the later post can point out, that it could be the Rivash himself didn't really say it. The Rivash was quoting somebody else who may have said such an idea. But the Rama somehow assumed that this is correct la halacha. The Rama says that pidyon haben cannot be performed by the shliach. That there's no concept of shliach, because you don't say shliach from kamoso by pidyon haben. Simple reading of the Rama, what would that mean? There are only two options of doing pidyon haben. Either the father does it, chor ben echad tifteh. Well, if the father can't do it, then you have to wait till the kid turns bar mitzvah. Then the kid will do it himself. But to appoint the shaliach, either for the father to appoint the shaliach, or presumably for the ben to appoint the shaliach, that's not acceptable. The pidyon haben is one of those mitzvahs which is not nitan to shlichus. If that is true, then of course our discussion is going to be moot. How could we even begin to discuss whether we should volunteer as the goodness of our hearts to do pidyon haben on behalf of this child, or on behalf of the father, or skip town, he didn't do it. What do you mean, should we volunteer? Even if we were appointed to do so by the father himself, or even if we were appointed to do so by the son himself, that's not going to be valid, because pidyon haben is not nitan to shlichos. So of course, if you follow the ikvos to Rama, then she's over for today. We'll go start the barbecue early. There's nothing to talk about. According to the Rama, obviously, you can't pull off a pidyon haben on their based in, because even a shaliach actually was appointed by the father of the son is not. But the problem is, where did the Rama get this from? Like, they say, why in the world should this be so that pidyon haben should not be nitan to shlichus? So our first reaction would probably be to think a little bit about what we learned last week. We've already seen that there are some mitzvahs that are not nitan to shlichus. What was the mitzvah we discussed at great length last week? But the mila is nitan to shlichus, and in fact we found some early sources for that. The Rosh and Chulin, at least the Shachlan Pshat and the Rosh, the Tzostam Pshat and the Rosh, that the mila is not nitan to shlichus, so maybe we could say, well, mila is not nitan to shlichus, or maybe pidyon haben is not nitan to shlichus either. So when it comes to mila, if that equation would be true, when it comes to mila, that the Torah creates that middle category of Beis Din, so that when Beis Din does a bris mila, they're not doing it b'tara shlichus, they're doing it b'tara their own personal chiyuv. Whereas by pidyon haben, for the middle category doesn't exist b'tara shchiyuv, so we want to volunteer ourselves and act as shalichim on behalf of the father or the son. So that's no good, because maybe pidyon haben is not nitan to shlichos. So even if that equation would be true, that mila is no shlichos and pidyon haben is no shlichos, so that would still, there would still be a discrepancy, there would still be a distinction between us volunteering, between we going ahead on our own and doing these mitzvahs on behalf of the child. Mila we would be b'chuyif to do, because that's the v'zeros ha'kassel of himo l'cham kol b'zachar. Whereas pidyon haben, since we're not b'chuyif to do it, so we wouldn't be able to do it on our own, because there's no shlichus. But the problem is, we didn't really have a clear beer as to why there shouldn't be any shlichus when it comes to mila. So we're not even sure why mila shouldn't have shlichus, and we weren't even convinced that was even right. So it's very hard for us to carry this over to pidyon haben. What was the reason? We only really came up with one half-decent reason why mila doesn't have shlichus. And what was that? That was the Ketzelsus beer. But mila is a mitzvah shivagufa. We said that, as I said last week, it's a mitzvah shivagufa, according to the Ketzelsus Rid, that the chisarn of mitzvah shivagufa is that there's only shlichus when something is misyachis back to the mishaleach. And mila, there's nothing that's misyachis back to the mishaleach. So maybe that's why there's no shlichus for mila. So if that would be true, if that reason would be true, which again, we were far from convinced last week that that's true, but if that would be true, so then that would probably be the same story about pidyon haben. Because just as mila, there's nothing that's misyaches back to the mishaleach, so too pidyon haben, there's nothing that's misyaches back to the Mishalech. So we could make a half-baked case that there's no shlichus for milu, for pigeon again. We could give a little bit of a beer, bidasar amol. We could give a kvetch a little bit. Well, maybe it's based on the same way that there's no shlichus for milu, so who are the name, there's no shlichus for pigeon again. What, of course, is the problem with this beer in the Ramo? Very, very small technical problem. Very large technical problem. Remembers, what's the obvious problem? In saying that, well, the reason why there's no shlichus for pidyon aved is whatever the chisaron of milu was, that's the same chisaron by pidyon aved. What's the problem? Who is the pesek who held that there was shlichus for milu?
Ramo
himself. Ramo and Daki Moshe machtevech the Arzaruah. Ramo and Daki Moshe quoted the Arzaruah that said if there's no shlichus for milu, and the Ramo says it's not true. It can't be. It's shlichus for milu. It doesn't make any sense. So it's very hard to try to make a case to defend the Ramban, Sinish and Hay in Pidyon Aved by invoking those Rishonim who say that there's no Shabbos by Mila, the Ramban himself didn't accept that. So this idea that the Ramban is subscribing to, that there's no Shabbos by Pidyon Aved, is a deep, dark secret. It's a very, very mysterious Ramban, and nobody really has a very good view as to why exactly this should be so. So to go the root of the Shlichus, to go the root of Bersamila is going into a concrete war. So you have to come up with some other reason why Pidyon Aved is different. So some try to try different reasons to try to explain why. It's very, very hard to understand exactly why it's true. Pashas is not like the Ramon. Pashas is, like all the other Echorot, there is Shlichus on Pidyon Aved, Shtuk Shalom Kemozo, and it's not really a problem altogether. There is a Chassam Soik, and it writes in the Tshuva, it's a little bit more of a Derech Rush than in Derech Halacha. It says maybe the reason why the Olam Drush is because Pidyon Aved is supposed to be a Zeich at Makas Becheris. It says with Makas Becheris, and even the Shaliach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't delegate Makas Becheris to Shaliach. So we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to commemorate the Nase of Makas Becheris properly, just to hand it over to a Shaliach would be inappropriate. That would be a bit of an evil of Shaliach. But again, that's not really a reason. That's just a nice thing. That's like a sermon. That's not a, it's not a Shir. So I'm sorry if you said it as a Drush B'Alma. But in terms of Halacha, it's very, very hard to understand this Pshat. So we're going to work now like that. We're going to assume like everybody else when it comes to Pidyon Aved. But just because the Shlichus when it comes to Pidyon Aved, it's still a far cry to say that we can go ahead and volunteer to do a Pidyon Aved on behalf of somebody. Let's say if the father's alive, he's just not around, so we're going to volunteer doing it on behalf of the father. The father's not even alive, so then we're going to volunteer to do it on behalf of the child. So that's not even Shlichus. Everyone who learned at the beginning of the Second Baruch Kedushin, anyone who's coming to Yeshiva this year will know, hopefully, that Shlichus, of course, means there's a new Shlichus, that the Mishalech has to appoint the Shalech to do it on his behalf. So if we as a Beis Din, we as Klal Yisrael, want to jump the gun and do a Pidyon Aved on behalf of somebody else, so we're not really working with the clone of Shlichus. This is not classic Shlichus. This is a different principle in Halacha, maybe related, maybe not. We'll see hopefully as the day goes on. But we're clearly going to be invoking a different principle in Halacha. And that's the principle of Zocha V'Yadim Shalom Befana. So we know that this principle also, this is a Mishnah like this, Maris, about Shas, the principle of Zocha V'Yadim Shalom Befana, when it's something that's beneficial for somebody. So I can go ahead and accomplish that action or that chalos on behalf of the other person, even without having an official minor shlichus. This is the parasha of Zechiah, of Zochim Yadav Shalom Befana, the solution of the days, the psukim for this, but the mice, at the end of the day, is clearly a concept in our Torah of Zochim Yadav Shalom Befana. We use this all the time, the principle of Zochim Yadav Shalom Befana, just one example, a common day example, we use it all the time. In Erevin, there's a halacha that when you make an Erev, even if you surround an area with walls, so all the people who live in that area have to be mishtachif together in a box of matzahs, chalorols. They have to be mishtachif together. That's what's called Eruv Chatzera. Someone has to be joined together in one house. So the Mishnah says that there are two ways of doing this. You either have to go around to each one of the people in town and ask them to participate, to give a little bit of flour, give a little bit of give a roll, give a matzah something. So you can put all the matzahs in one place. That's one way of doing it. Or if you have 10,000 people in town, it's a little bit of a hassle to do that. So one guy goes to the store and buys the box of matzahs, and he gives it to somebody else, and the other person picks it up on behalf of all the people who live in town. And based on the principle of Zochel Yadam Shalom Befana, since everybody wants to have a chelik in the matzahs, it's a good thing to have a chelik in the matzahs. It's Zochel Yadam Shalom Befana. So Zochel Yadam Shalom Befana is also a way to transfer ownership on the object. Of course, let's say Zochel Yadam Shalom Befana is only assuming that the person really is happy about it. Let's say the person finds out about it, he says his pack is not happy about it, he doesn't want to be part of this matana, he doesn't want this gift. So then the Gemara said the Pharisee of the Havatra, that if he's Meicha immediately, so it can be Meicha, that if he refuses, if he makes a Macho immediately, so that it Tiglai Milson Mafreya turns out retroactively that it wasn't the Zechus all along, so the whole Zechiyah falls by the wayside. So that's why if a guy wants to be smart, if he doesn't want to hold from the Neder, if he wants to mess it up for everybody else, so he doesn't have to climb on a ladder and cut down the Erev wire. He could just have in mind that he doesn't want to be Zechus on the Matzah. So usually the people who are the big Kanoim, who are written down the Erev, they don't know that. So we don't want to tell them that. So if you tell them that, then it's enough, there's a much easier way to mess up an Erev.
I think Shafter Zashavim, he said that he had a chiddush that maybe a person wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, it's a shah. Some folks can say maybe this is different. So they have to try to explain away why it would be different. It's a shah. It's a shah. Why? The pashas that the varim is that a person says is any right? Say he doesn't want anything to do with the Erev, so you can mess it up for everybody. But it could be there's a way out of that problem. Anyway, we hope. So anyway, getting back to the story. So there's a principle of Zoch Nerev Shalot Befodot, which means that I can do something and somebody else can do it, even without this man as a form of Shalia. So maybe when we speak about Beis Din or Kval Yisrael, when an individual wants to be a nice guy and want to volunteer to do a Pidyon HaBen on somebody else's behalf, so I'll take 5 shekels out of my pocket and I'll give it to the Kohen. And I'm saying, I'm giving this money on behalf of the little kid who's not yet had a pidyon haben. So maybe that's okay. And according to Ramah, it's not even a shot. Of course that's no good. According to Ramah, even if I was nismana, that's no good. But according to those who disagree with Ramah, the pasha that shalichus does work, so maybe we can evoke the principle of zechiyah as well. So come to the Taz in Yeridei and Simon Shinhei throws a question, throws a little curveball at us, in terms of does this really work or not. The basic principle, the basic premise of Zoch Nerev Shalot Befodot is that it has to be a zechus, it has to be something that's beneficial. It has to be both objectively beneficial and subjectively beneficial. So it has to be something that we view, that the Olam views as being something that's beneficial. Even if it's something that we view as being beneficial, if the person later on indicates to us that for him it's not beneficial, that's what the Gemara Bava Basra says, he can be moichet. But if it's not beneficial to the oilam, it doesn't appear to us to be beneficial, so then for sure the whole parasha of Zoch Ganam doesn't apply, because the corollary of Zoch Ganam Shul Befonav is Ein Chavim Yodim El Befonav. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin in the first parak, that Zoch Ganam Shul Befonav, but the Ein Chavim Yodim El Befonav. So we have to ask ourselves, is this really a chos? For me to go ahead and say there's this bechor walking around who hasn't yet done a pidyon haben, is it really beneficial for me to go ahead and give 5 shekels on his behalf? Is that really a chos? Can you really say zach and adam shabbat? But maybe it's a chayva. What's a chayva about it? It's very beneficial. It's gevaldik. I'm helping the guy fulfill his mitzvah. What capacity would he be dead? Well, comes the Gemara Masechet Nedarim and raises the following question that people like to do the mitzvah themselves. So maybe the fact that I'm taking away his opportunity to do the mitzvah himself, maybe that gufus gives it to be a chova. What's the context of the Gemara? So the Gemara raises the following shot. There's a din that if I have a fruit, a produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael, it's tevel, so I have to be mafresh trumas and maisers. So either I can be mafresh trumas and maisers myself, or I can appoint somebody else to be mafresh trumas and maisers as a shliach on my behalf. What if a person wants to go ahead and be mafresh trumas and maisers on my behalf without my rishus? So then the Gemara says, depends. If he wants to come and take away my fruit to be mafresh trumas and maisers on my behalf without my permission, that's a problem. Let's say he wants to take his own fruit. The din is, let's say I have a lot of tevel. Some of it belongs to me, some belongs to you, some belongs to the third guy. So if you're mafresh from some of the tevel and have in mind that it's going to pater all the tevel, that's okay. So what's the din if I have Reuben has some tevel, Shimon has some tevel? So Shimon decides he's going to be a nice guy and he's going to be mafresh b'shelo al shochaver. He's going to take off part of his tevel and he's going to say that this trumas and maisers are taking off the pater Reuben stuff as well. So the Gemara Nedarim in the fourth paragraph for Shaiva, must Shimon receive consent from Reuben or not? Can Shimon do this on his own? Or does Shimon have to get be nisman as a shaliach from Reuben? What's the shaila? So the Gemara says that when we can invoke the principle of Zoch Yadav Shalzachonov, the only problem is we're not sure that it's really a zchus. Why is it not a zchus? On the one hand, Shimon is helping Reuben fulfill his obligation of Hafrashah Tumas and Isis. On the other hand, he's stealing Reuben's opportunity to do the mitzvah himself. So maybe Reuben would like to do the mitzvah with his own stuff. So comes in mind, raise the shaila. Should we view this as a zchus or not? So on the one hand, I'm helping him fulfill his obligation. On the other hand, I'm taking away from him the opportunity to do it really all by himself. So is that as chus or is that not as chus? Gemara pilfers back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and finally Gemara concludes that it's considered to be as chus. But that's more, you know, a negative aspect, that small factor that people like to do things themselves. So that pales in terms of the greater scheme of things. Like everything in life, every time you make any decision in life, there are pros and the cons. You have to try to figure out. Make a good judgment. Well, what do the pros outweigh the cons? So if you can come to the conclusion that the positive outweigh the negative, so that's called as chus. That's what the Gemara is shaking a little bit to try to figure out. And finally, acharei tikkunei kol chazal and mishai, that is considered to be as chus. So comes the Taz and invokes that Gemara the Darim and says, well, that seems to be parallel to our shaila. Also, that I want to know, can I go ahead and take five shkolim to be paid there? To be paid as somebody else's kid, to be paid with this bechor. So on the one hand, I'm helping him perform his mitzvah. On the other hand, I'm stealing the opportunity for him to do the mitzvah on his own. So it says the Taz, is that good? Is that no good? Is that as chos not as chos? He says, oh, to give one the darm and af lamed hay. The Gemara has to say himself. Because the Gemara is pleshed, that's going to be as chos. So just as it is chos, these are the children of the banks. So if it's as chos, these are the people of the bank as well. So the Taz says it's okay. But then comes the Taz and says, not so partial. Now the Taz himself throws a curveball at us. Says the Taz, true, the Gemara in the Dorim is the mocker, is the model for this discussion that we're having concerning doing pidyon haben on behalf of somebody else. But maybe we can distinguish within different types of pidyon haben on behalf of different people. What does it mean? So this shayla that we're talking about, the Beis Din is going to step in, someone's going to get up to the plate and be played to somebody else's kid. What does that mean exactly? What's the case? What's the echitimus? So there are two possibilities. Either the child is below the age of bar mitzvah, and the father, for whatever reason, is not around, he's not broke, whatever, he's out of town, he never got around to doing it. That's one possible scenario that we're discussing. Or the second possible scenario that we're discussing is the father is not even in the picture anymore. The kid's 25 years old, and for whatever reason, he never got around to doing his pidyon haben. So we're going to go ahead and do it on behalf of the child, on behalf of the child, on behalf of the grown up, on behalf of the 75 years old already. So these are two different cases. So you would have asked me, I would have said, it's true, there are two different cases, but it's the same shayla. Is it a schos or it's not a schos? If it's a schos, then it's good. Then you can do it in either case. You can do the zechiya either on behalf of the katan, or you can do it on behalf of the gadol. Or maybe one could argue if it's not a schos, then under no circumstances should it be good. So comes the Taz and says, well, it's going to depend. But there are different. Klolim, there are different hakdoras as to what constitutes schos. Says the Taz, I really only gave two cases, really three different cases. There are three different scenarios of doing a pidyon haben on behalf of somebody else. So one case is that the kid's still under the age of bar mitzvah, when the father's around somewhere, he's in China. That's one scenario. The second scenario that we gave is that the person's already over bar mitzvah, we're doing it on behalf of the gadol. And the third scenario is that the father is no longer alive, the kid is not yet bar mitzvah, and we're going to do it on behalf of the 10-year-old kid. That's the third case. So comes the Taz and says that in the first two cases, in the case we're doing a pidyon haben on behalf of the Av, who's a gadol, so then it's okay. Zachar Lev Shalom Befanav is gadol. If you want to do a pidyon haben on behalf of a ben, who's a gadol, the guy's 75 years old already, that's also okay. But the third case, you want to do a pidyon haben on behalf of the child, who's still a child, he's still a katan, and the father is not in the country, the father's not alive anymore. So who is this chiyah being done on whose behalf? It's being done on behalf of the katan, says the Taz, the buck stops here. So that type of chiyah becomes questionable. Why? It says the Taz, this opens up a whole discussion in halacha about the possibility of doing chiyah on behalf of a katan. Who says that Zachar Yonim Shalom Befanav works on behalf of a Kotel? On behalf of a Gadol, that's a Mishnah in the Sechas Gittin. Ma'isem Echol Yom, that Zachia works on behalf of a Gadol. So if the father's still alive, for sure he can do Pidyon Haben on his behalf. If the child's over by mitzvah, for sure he can do Pidyon Haben on his behalf. But the middle case, which is probably going to be the most common case, where the father's no longer alive, the child is not yet by mitzvah, so in that scenario, you want to invoke the principle of Zachar Yonim Shalom Befanav, that you want to do a Zachar on behalf of a Kotlan, you have to stop and ask yourself, can you do that? Is that feasible? Is that a possibility? Can you really do Zachar on behalf of a Kotlan? So what's that love, huh? So it comes to Taz and refers you to a famous crisis in Ksupas and Davir Alba. One of the most famous Ksupas and Shas, the sugya of ger katan. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Ksuba and Daf Yud Aleph, an unbelievable chiddush. His mamish pilei ploim. If not for this Gemara, never in a million years would have said this. The Gemara says that if you have a little child who's not Jewish and you want to come and convert him, so the Gemara says that's no problem. The Gemara says Rafuna ger katan rabbiim osad as beizdin. The Gemara says if you can convert him, it's not a problem. How could you convert him based on what? Das gavers, you can't just walk around converting people without their das. What's it based on? So the Gemara says it's based on zochin the adam shalom b'fana. Since it's considered to be positive, it's beneficial to become Jewish. So therefore, we're doing something on behalf of this person, even though they're not old enough to express das. It doesn't matter. Zochin the adam shalom b'fana. That's what the Gemara, Feirushi Gemara, thinks subas and dafir has. Biggest pella problem that whole sugya of the Gemara says the din amar avuna. You cut the bilus all down space. Then you know what the Gemara asks? What does the Gemara ask in that day? The Gemara doesn't say, "What? That's the most ridiculous, craziest thing I ever heard in my life." What does the Gemara ask?
That is.
What?
Is that a sport?
No, that's later in the sugya. It's afterwards. The first kasha the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, "Pshita." Well, says, "Of course, it's worse." Zochin lenu shul b'fanav. The first mishnah that zochin lenu shul b'fanav. That's pshita. I never in a million years would have dreamt that this is an application of zochin lenu shul b'fanav. Gemara thought it was. The Gemara says pshit, and then the Gemara says, "No, you know why it's not pshit? Like you said, who says that's a schus? Maybe it's not so great to be Jewish. Maybe the guy doesn't want to be Jewish. So Kamashula, no, it is a schus to be Jewish. Baruch Hashem." So the Gemara says it's okay. So Lamaisa, we're not learning the Sugya Ksubas like it. Aleph, we just want to extract what's necessary for us. So you see, quote from the Gemara, you can invoke the principle of zochel liadam shel b'fanav, and be megayer somebody based on zochel liadam shel b'fanav. So comes Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph, and every other Rishon in the world, everybody has to be bothered with this kasha. Wait a second. Is this true? You can invoke Zochin, the other Shalom, the fun of the Megayer, this katan, this guy who's a katan. There's a rule that there's no shlichus for a katan. What would the halacha be if a katan would appoint somebody to be his shaliach? Let's say if a katan who has a kevel, he would ask you to be machmir, shkumas, and maisis on his behalf. So there's no shlichus for a katan. The katan doesn't have to kaych in halacha to appoint a shaliach. So comes Tosfos and says, just as a katan doesn't have the kaych to appoint somebody as a shaliach, so hu adinami, we cannot invoke the principle of zechiyah on behalf of a katan. Why is that? So Tosfos made up a phrase, coined a phrase, what's a very famous phrase called? Zechiyah. Because not that famous, yeah. Zechiyah mitam shlichus. Okay, zechiyah mitam shlichus. So Tosfos coined the phrase zechiyah mitam shlichus. And zechiyah and shlichus are really one and the same. If you think about it, they sound like they're working the same way. Shlichus means that I actually appoint you to do something on my behalf. Zechiyah means I don't actually appoint you, but since it's understood that what you're doing is a positive thing, so it's you that I appointed you. So zechiyah and shlichus, they're really two sides of the same coin. Shlichus is the ikar din, that's the din when there's an official minoy. And zechiyah means a type of a shlichus when there's no minoy shlichus. So it comes to us and it asks, so zechiyah becomes shlichus, just as shlichus, there's no shlichus for katan, that's the Beferish Gemara in condition of Mem Yimol, so too, ain zechiyah la katan. So how can the Gemara say, zochel yadam shalad defanav, and thereby we're going to create a geirus, so he'll be megayah, this non-Jewish kid, based on the principle of zechiyah? It can't be. How could that, it's such a stunt work, how could it ever be zechiyah for a katan? That's Tosfos. So Tosfos tries very, very hard to solve this problem. The Tosfos was so bothered with this kasha that they caught one day that such a pilei ploim. The Tosfos says, "Yeah, you're right. The minat Torah, his gamers doesn't work. The minat Torah, this whole thing is both bum and vutol, because the chiyah mitam shlichos, and therefore the shlichos is no good, and the chiyah is no good, and the gamers is no good minat Torah." So Abba the Gemara says the gamers is good. So Tosfos says, "Nah, it means minat rabban." So takaras achamim that the kid is Jewish. Tosfos is left with a very, very strange scenario. You're going to tell me you have such a thing that Minat Torah, the guy's a guy, but Midrabanan is Jewish. Because that's a very, very funny thing that we have trouble dealing with. So Tosfos really has trouble dealing with that. Tosfos has such trouble dealing with that that none of the other Rishonim even buy into this Tosfos. Tosfos themselves back to Alphabet. It's not shy of such a thing. There should be such a thing. The guy's Jewish Midrabanan, but he's a goy Midaraisa. So it's a very strange concept in Allah. So how does it work?
Tosfos gets all these problematic flow and that cause more problems in solution. So how do you solve the problem? How do you solve the basic problem? How can it be that there's a chiyah for a katan? So it comes Tosfos at the end of this Tosfos, and develops the following yisur, that it's not 100% true that there's no zechiyah for a katan. That sometimes there is zechiyah for a katan, minat Torah, those give me now far minat Torah, sometimes there is zechiyah for a katan, and sometimes there's no zechiyah for a katan. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. What does it depend on? So Tosfos says it depends how good a zechiyah is. If it's something which is a real bona fide zechor, something which is unquestionable zechor, so then ken zayin yeh zechiyah lekatan, even minat Torah. If it's something which is just makes it like the skin of his teeth, the type of his chos, so then ein zchir lekata min haTorah. That's the hagdara that Taisa says. So the difference between his chos gomor and something which is not quite as chos gomor. Again, how to understand why that should be conceptually? If you hold that zchir is mitam shlichos, why that should be is very very problematic. So again, we're not learning super stuff in Aleph. We have to try to figure out that Taisa in and of itself. But Taisa says that's the aside that Taisa suggests that sometimes there is zchir lekata min haTorah, sometimes not, and the litmus test, how do you know when yeah, when no? So the answer is, if it's a zechus, which is an unquestionable zechus, then yeh zechiyah lekatan min haTorah. If it's not such an AI perfect plot, zechus, then yeah, problems.
Maybe the reason why, the reason Tosis makes that chiluk is, maybe the reason why shivas doesn't work by a katan, because we don't trust the katan's das to really know what he wants for himself.
Right, it could be.
So
could
the
be.
Only way you're allowed to do it is when it's a zechus gomor where there's no way it could possibly be harmful.
Right,
him.
Right.
So he, even though he can't know whether or not he wants it,
that's definitely a possible beer in the Tosfos. The only problem is that that would commit Tosfos to be saying that the chisaron of shlichus lekatan is really a chisaron of minoy, namely that the katan can't really express the proper das to be reminded of the shlichus. It's not that there's any intrinsic chisaron that a shlichus can't relate back to a katan, it's just that the katan is a lavar das to appoint the shlichus. That would be a very good beer. Rabbi Kideger has that beer. The only problem is that his son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, has a ha'ara on his father, which is a very powerful ha'ara. But the Gemara says in the first Bekhav of Mitzia, because there's a suffix in the Gemara, machlokes in the Gemara, whether the chatzur is midin shlichus or not. There's a din. Well, let's say the person wants to divorce his wife, so he doesn't have to put the get into her hand. He could put the get into her chatzur as well. So running that from a puzzle. If anasim biyada, anasim bikamok, anasim lusay chatzera. So the Gemara raises the shayla, lomtas the shayla. What's the nature of this din? That you can give a get to the chatzir of the woman. What's the nature of the din? The chatzir shel adam is kainala. His chatzir mishum yad. The chatzir is mamish like an extension. It's like either you're putting it into her hand, or his chatzir midin shliach. That the chatzir is like an inanimate shliach of the woman. It's been alule the chiddush haTorah of kinyan chatzir. I would have said shlichas only makes sense. But people, how can I appoint a chatzir to be a shliach? So that's a chiddush haTorah. That chatzir is also a form of shlichas. So the Gemara says, "My nafkamina, whether chatzos mishum yad or mishum shlichus." The Gemara says, "A nafkamina. Let's say the girl is a katana. Say she was married off by her father. So now she's 5 years, she's 10 years old, and now the husband wants to divorce her. So can he give the get into her chatzor or not?" The Gemara says, "Depends. If you hold that chatzos mishum yad, so a katana can be makabel get. If I give the get to her hand, so the get will be chal. So if you hold that chatzos mishum yad, so then the get will be chal. If you hold that chatzos mishum shlichus." So then, ain't shlichus lekatan. So the Eger asks the Kasha on his father. He says, when it comes to chotzer, you don't have to be reminded your chotzer as a shliach. I don't have to walk over to my chotzer and say, my backyard, please be my representative, please be my shliach. You don't need das. Chotzer shalom karmel shalom midaito. It's a type of a shlichus that works without the official minay das of the mishaleach. So he says it from the Eger, his father's right, that the whole chisaron of ein shlichus lekatan is a chisaron in the das of the katan, it's a chisaron in the minui shlichus. So then, by chotzer, that chisaron shouldn't carry over. The Gemara is famous that it does. But the other chotzer is mishum shlichus, and there's no chotzer for katan. So you mechamet to kidega, but shlomeger shows the chav of the Gemara that it's very very problematic. Anyway, getting back to the story. So whatever you learn pshat of the Taisus, whether it's Kiegish pshat, other pshat, whatever it is, the bottom line is the Taisus said this is chiv. The Taisus says that when there's a zechus gomor, so then there is a zechia for a katam and a tayyum, but it's not a zechus gomor, that there's no zechia for a katam and a tayyum. So comes the Taz and borrows this Taisus and plugs it into the sugya pidgin abet. Comes the Taz and says the following. We want to know, can we do pidgin abet on behalf of somebody else? So says the Taz, doing the pidgin abet on behalf of somebody else, would you describe that as a zechus gomor, or would you describe that as a zechus that barely makes it? By the skin of our teeth, we declared that was a zechus. It's not an ayayay zechus gomor. So what would you say? If you had to look at this zechus, doing a pidyon haben on behalf of somebody else, could you really call that an absolute zechus gomor without any strings attached? Or do you say, no, it's a zechus, it's a zechus, but it's not such a great zechus? What's the raya?
What benefit does he really get in the end?
Well, he gets the benefit that now the mitzvah is taken care of. So he's controlled his mitzvah. He's no more considered to be the last one mitzvah. So bring your raya from the Gemara. Just a sense of doing a big event on behalf of somebody. So Zolzain then is considered. That niyach that is considered to be a schos, right? We're assuming that it's a schos. Is it a schos dom or is it absolute? No questions asked. It's a schos. So a schos that barely makes it. So it's the raya brua. Let's get about a little. It's the raya brua. Well, what are you really asking from? What? The Gemara desire. The Gemara wasn't even sure that it's a schos. The Gemara spent half a daf to try to figure out whether it's a schus or not. And finally, at the end of the day, the Gemara was poshut that it was a schus. Comes the pasuk and says, yeah, the Gemara was poshut that it's a schus. That means the Gemara looked at the positives and the negatives and finally sized up that it's more positive than negative. The Gemara never meant to say the negative doesn't exist. Of course, the negative exists. What's the negative? That I'm stealing the guy's opportunity to do the mitzvah himself. Like he said, a little bit mitzvah by Yosef Mishulchom. So comes the pasuk and says, so, yeah, at this opinion of Ben, Ayde Achia, it's considered to be as chus, but as chus gomer, it's not. As chus gomer, for sure, it's not. It's not going to be any better than Torah Mishaloi al Shochavera. Comes to us and says, based on this chiluk, now we can develop the following chiluk halacha l'maisa. Says the Taz, remember we have three different scenarios of doing pidgin aved on behalf of somebody else. So it's a case number one where the father's alive but he's in China. It's case number two where the kid is passed by mitzvah. And it's case number three where the father's no longer alive. And we want to do it on behalf and effect on behalf of the kid. So says the Taz, in case number one, where we're doing it on behalf of the father, that's roughly the other form of father on behalf of a gadol. So then the degree of schus that's necessary, as long as it's schus, as long as it meets the halachic guidelines, it meets the amount that's necessary to be lived as schus, that's the valid. Case number two, when we're doing this chia on behalf of a kot, on behalf of a gadol, kid 75 years old. Old man, he's 75 years old already. We're doing zechia on his behalf. That's also gevaldik. No problem. As long as it's schus, great. But case number three, scenario number three, we were trying to pull off a zechia on behalf of a katan because the father's no longer alive, and the kid's not yet bar mitzvah. So the only zechia that we're doing is on behalf of a katan. Says the Taz and says, wait a second. Now we have to ask ourselves: not only is it a zechus, but we have to ask ourselves: is it a schus gomor? Because if it's not a schus gomor, then we fall into Tosfos rut in Ksubas Tafir Aleph. But we know if it's schus gomor, so then zechia is mitam shlichus, and ain zechia lekatan. So comes the Taz and says, two out of three ain't bad. Says the Taz that if you want to know the mice, can the baby go ahead and do something on behalf of the katan? So on behalf of the katan, no. On behalf of the gadol, either the gadol is the father, the gadol is the bechor. Either one of those will be acceptable, but to do is an opinion of them on behalf of the cup, that's a problem, says the Taz. And the reason why it's a problem, because it's not quite as chus gomor based on Taz and Subis Nashim. That's the famous Pesach, the Pshar, the compromise of the Taz. Anyone read the whole Kudus HaKesef? Anyone started the Kudus HaKesef? Anyone figured out what the Kudus HaKesef was? The Kudus HaKesef was on the side of the Taz. So the Shach and the Taz were contemporaries. Except that the Taz was about 60 years older than him. So the Taz was about 80, the Shach was in his 20s, and they both wrote Sfarim on the Yordain. They didn't see, they didn't quote each other, because they didn't realize that the other one was writing. So then after both Sfarim were published, so then they went to town against each other. So then the Shach wrote the Ha'aras on the Taz, which he called the Nekudas HaKesef. Why did he call the Nekudas HaKesef? I don't know why. What was the significance of that name? Because it's the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk says, "Terei Zahav Naas Elach Im Nekudos HaKosef." So the name of the Taz was the Terei Zahav. Shach wanted to say that, because I think the Gemara says that the Nekudos HaKosef was greater than the Terei Zahav or something. I don't know. So he wanted to make a shtach to the Taz that he's writing his Nekudos HaKosef on the Terei Zahav. What's of course the problem with that? Is that in Shir Hashirim it's Terei Zahav with a Tof, and the Taz wrote it with a Tes, Terei Zahav. So what's the Torah to that Kasha? It's a sheepish. Nobody knows how to read anyway, so it's all the same. But anyway, bottom line is that the Shach went a long, long marachas against the Taz. The Shach was very concerned that less people think that he wasn't the Chabad. The Taz was a good old boy. He was 60 years older than the Shach. So less people think that it wasn't the Chabe de Taz, or the Shach writes in his Akdoma to Yeredeya. So he writes that people used to say that he was being mezalvo in the covenant of the Taz. So he says people didn't understand that he was he had tremendous covenant of the Taz. I disagree with somebody. He had tremendous covenant. He says, in case anyone doesn't know, at one time it was Zeich that Taz ended up stuck for Shabbos or somewhere in the Shach's town. And the Shach writes that he was mechaberim she'en kamayu, that he was mamish kareh mishtach abetim. He was mamish kareh. He was 80 years old. Shach was 20 years old. So he treated him mamish like another gol adoy. But he still disagreed with things that he wrote. So that's okay. It's not a steal. A lot of disagree. You have to disagree. Just for derech kavod. So here the Shach has a long tirade against this Taz, where he thinks the Taz is whole shtickle terah is not good. Right? So comes the Shach and says, he thinks that there's absolutely no problem with doing pidgin aben on behalf even of a katan. The Taz is in Subas Tafir Aleph. So first of all, says the Shach, Taz is gevaldik. Taz is 100%, right? That at least at this point before he takes Taz as a task, but at least at the beginning he's willing to be by that Taz is right. But if it's his chuz gomor, then you can do it on behalf of katan. If it's not his chuz gomor, then you can't do it on behalf of katan. Says the Shach, when you do pidgin aben on behalf of somebody else, that's his chuz gomor. What led us to believe that it's not his chuz gomor? The Gemara in the Dara. The fact that the Gemara had a Shaila with doing a mitzvah on somebody else's behalf, is that his chuz altogether? So comes the Shach and says, once the Gemara was peshed, that it's considered to be his chuz, so the Gemara totally and completely negated that svara of Nechel Imish to make a mitzvah delay. That the Gemara thought at one point, and the Havim Minishah B'Havim Minishah, the Gemara thought that people like to do their own mitzvahs, so therefore it's not as close. But Lemaskana, once the Gemara rejected that, so whereas the Taz thought that the Gemara rejected that it's still called as close, even though that Svara still exists, the Shach said no, the Gemara rejected that because that Svara is dead wrong, because that Svara is just absolutely not true anymore. So it's Machlek, is the Taz, the Shach, just teach in the Gemara. When you learn the Dharm, that's what I'm saying. So when the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Torah Mishalosh Shechaver ain't Tzorech Daita, that you can't be mad for Shtrimus and Maizios on behalf of somebody else, and it's not a problem of a Chayva, so what's Pshat the Maskanas of Gemara? According to the Taz, the Maskanas of Gemara is that even though that Svar of Nechel and Inish Lameva Mitzvah Delay is still Kayam, but that Svar pales to the benefit that the other person is receiving. Because according to the Shach, that's the wrong Pshat in the Gemara, that's the wrong Taich in the Gemara. The Maskanas of Gemara is that Svar is dead wrong. That Svar just doesn't exist anymore. That's not the clearly initial maybe mitzvah delay. We're not Messiahis to that Svar anymore. That's the first time that the Shach has against the Taz.
What's the status of a child, Jewish child, before he has his baby?
Nothing dramatically different.
He's still
Jewish. Yeah, 100% Jewish.
Then why can you draw comparisons with the Gemara and Dharma talking about a Goy? I think the whole deal over there was whether.
No. Tulsa had two problems. Tulsa had a problem that even if the child would be Jewish, it would still be a problem. Ein zechila katan. Tulsa has a secondary, it's a second problem, ein zechila akel. That's a totally different problem. But Tulsa's the problem that we're focusing on is ein zechila katan. Ein zechila akel part Tulsa solves by saying, well, it becomes Jewish as a zechila. It's a kita viyala ben kiyachad.
The whole discussion of whether or not it's good,
No. But at the end of the day, Tosfos asks, even if it is a schus, even the Niach, like the Gemara's conclusion, that it's a gewaltig schus, but ain't zechir v'katan. There's no zechir v'katan in the Torah. That's Tosfos' caption. So the Taz said that you can't go and get any further than Tosfos went by Geirus. So the Shach says, yeah, Tosfos is right, and the Taz is still wrong, says the Shach. Because Tosfos is right that you can only do a zechir with a schus gomer, but this is called a schus gomer. Then the Shach says, another strike against the Taz, says the Shach, that Tosfos is right and the Taz is still wrong. One, what do you do exactly? Give me a hechitim. So how are we going to pull off the stunt of doing a pidgin aben on behalf of the child? What are we going to do exactly? So here you have this little kid. He's 3 years old, and the father's no longer alive, and we want to go ahead and do a pidgin aben. So what are we going to do? So we can do it in one of two ways. Either I could be a nice guy, take 5 shekels out of my pocket, and hand it to a kohen. That's one way of doing it. Well, there's another way to do it. I could take 5 shekels out of my pocket and give those 5 shekels to Reuven and say, Reuven, be zeich on behalf of this little 3-year-old child. And then he'll pick it up, so now Reuven owns the money. And now the child owns the money. And now we'll take those 5 shekels and give it to the kohen on behalf of the kohen. So says the Shach, if you do it the second way, so that's called doing the mitzvah himself. What was the whole chisaron of the Gemara Nedarim? Why did the Gemara think and hesitate that maybe it's not as chus because he's not doing the mitzvah with his own property because somebody else is taking someone's taking their own tzvua and using it to pata the other guy's tevel. So the Gemara thought that's not called the chus gomer maybe because nechal inish maybe mitzvah delay. People want to do mitzvahs with their own stuff. So over here says the Shach we can circumvent this problem by being mizak in the money to the kotel first, and then taking those fash from itself and giving it to the kohen. So then you have everything. Then you mamish have a schus gomer. So those are the two attacks that the Shach, his first two attacks against the Taz. That the reason why I'm dividing up the attacks on the Shach is very simple. That Shach's first two attacks are assuming that Tosfos is right. Tosfos in Ksubis is emes. Tosfos in Yudalef and Aleph is the emes of Amitai. Says the Shach in the first two attacks. Now, you can only have a schus gomer for a katan, but alpha b'chein, the extrapolation of the task, the pidyon haben is wrong. It's wrong for one of two reasons. It's wrong either because pidyon haben is a schus gomer, and we're not misyaches lamaskana to the svar of mechel inish lamevim mitzvah delay, or the task's extrapolation is wrong because this is an example of doing mitzvah delay, because we're going to be mezaka the money to the katan first. So those first two attacks that the Shach has against the Taz is assuming Taisik Subs is right. But still, the comparison of the Taz to the Pidyon Haben is wrong for these two reasons.
Isn't there also still a Chisaron in Schus Gomer because the Katan still loses the Hana of which coin to give it to?
I mean, he's losing out the Tervis Hana, but the Gemara doesn't even use that as a part of the Svar because the Gemara in the dark didn't even mention that. Right? The Gemara Nadar didn't mention the Tavis Hanah aspect. The Gemara just mentioned the fact that Nechel Inish Lameva Mitzvah Dilei. So the Stamad Gemara didn't consider that to be too important.
The Katan can't do it himself. What better is it that the Rezak and the Mait will come in form and it's his mitzvah?
No, so that's called his mitzvah. No, we're doing it based on Zechiyah. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to do the mitzvah based on Zechiyah. Eloah, the Taz is shepherding us. That's not his Chuz Gomor. And Tashim Tzuvah Shidah says, need his Chuz Gomor. Invoke Zachman and Shalafanav, so says the Shach, so we'll turn it into his Chus Gomer. So we'll give him the money first, and then we'll take that money and give it to the Kohen. So that'll be his Chus Gomer, because now it turns out that the Kohen is doing the mitzvah with his own money. So that's called his Chus Gomer. So it's his money they're doing the pigeon. So those are the two attacks, the first two attacks of the Taz, assuming Taz is right. But now, once the Shach took the Taz to task, now he goes one step further. Now he takes Taz to task also. And you know what? I'm not even sure that Taz is right. Says the Shach, he says, Tosus was bothered with a problem. What was Tosus' problem? It created this whole major, major issue. How could it be that you could be Mizah? How in the world could you be Megayer, a child, Pilei Ploy, means Chil Kotlan, doesn't work in a Torah, the kid's not Jewish. Tosus said it's only Jewish, but the Rabbanah, the Hindu, the Hindu, the Says the Shach, the whole Tosus is Pilei Ploy from the beginning. The whole Tosus is not right. Says the Shach, if you look in the Gemara in Kedusha, in the second paragraph, it's going to be in Yeshiva Ziyas, so we will spend a lot of time on this. So you see clear in the Gemara that there are three different halachas of doing something on behalf of somebody else. One is the parasha of Shlichus. So that's the ABC, that's the basic parasha. That means when Reuben appoints Shimon, there's a formal mina Shlichus. That's Shluch Shalom Kemar, so that's this past week's parasha, Gam Atem. That's Rabba Shluch Shalom Kemar. Then there's parasha number two called Zechiyah, Zachar Adam Shalom Befanav, which means that even though there was no formal mina shlichus, if it's something that's beneficial, Reuben can step to the plate and do it on behalf of Shimon. And then there's the third parasha, it's called the parasha of apotropos. Apotropos means that if a father dies and leaves children under the age of bar mitzvah, so who's going to be the top of that? Who's going to take care of all the property? So comes the Gemara and says, Beis Din Bamidbar Mapatrup. So Beis Din has to appoint somebody to step in as a legal guardian, to be metapa with all their property. Well, what's this legal guardian, what's this apotropos going to do? So Fishtaitzich, the apotropos is going to invest some of their property, he's going to buy, he's going to sell, he's going to do whatever is beneficial on behalf of the Ketanim, on behalf of the Yesenim. He doesn't own the property. He's not a bialim on the property. So how can he buy and sell? How can he do things in the behalf? That's the din of apotropos. How did the Gemara know? How did Chazal know there's a din of apotropos? So the Gemara needs a pasuk from this for this. The Gemara says that's not the regular din of shlichos. That's not even the regular din of zechiyah. An apotropos can do certain things that regular shlichos and zechiyah cannot do. How do you know there's a din of apotropos? So the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim and Parashas Masei. For the Pesukim speak about Nasi Yecha, Nasi Yecha Vamata. For the Pesukim describe when they divided up Eretz Israel. So they divided up, there were Nasi, and each Shevet had a Nasi. And the Nasi was in charge of dividing up the land. So the Gemara says, but what if the Nasi was in charge of dividing up the land? So Bishlam, but there were some people, most of the people who were dividing up in the behalf of Gedolim. There were some Yisraelim in the Midbar also. There were some people under the age of Bar Mitzvah who had a chelik in Eretz Israel. So what do you mean the Nasi was dividing up the land for them? What do you mean he was picking who's going to get what and everything? Who appointed the Nasi? So the Gemara says, no, that's the Din HaTorah that the Halacha requires when you have the descendant. So Beis Din Mabitlan Apotropos. So that one of the roles of the Nasiim in the Midbar was to represent, to be the legal guardians of the Yisraelim. So the Gemara learns that from those Pesukim. There's a concept of an apotropos in halacha. The Beis Din, the Beis Din themselves, the Beis Din appoints somebody appropriate to act on behalf of the katan, and the apotropos can do things that a normal shlichus, normal zechiyah can't do. So comes the shach and he says, but man, devan amurim that there's a chisar that ain't shlichus the katan. That's when you're talking about a private shliach. That if katan wants to appoint the shliach to do something, ain't shlichus the katan. There's a katan. Well, when do we apply the rule of ain't zechiyah l'katan because zechiyah is mitam shlichus? That's when you have a private zechiyah. I want to pick up something on behalf of the katan. I can't do that. Ain't zechiyah l'katan because mitam shlichus. It says the shach, if you're working with the rules of apotropos, when you have a beis din that's stepping in, so every beis din is on behalf of katan. That's the whole chiddush HaTorah for that. That beis din aminu l'apotropos, that's daft on behalf of katan and yisrael katan, who can't do things on their own. Because the regular din of shlichus and zechiyah won't work for them, so that's a third din of Torah called apotropos. So says the shach, the din of apotropos is not just in the realm of din of amanus. Apotropos doesn't just have a kach to buy and sell. Apotropos does everything that's beneficial on behalf of the ketanim in all areas of halacha, both in din of amanus as well as in issur b'hevdah. That's the finish of Gemara. The Gemara has in the second gittin in the fifth paragraph apotropos and amafresh chumus and maishus. On behalf of the katan, or how are they going to eat? The katan has a field in Eretz Yisrael. He's growing fruit, and the fruit is who's doing it through mafresh shumas and maizes? The katan can't do it. The katan can't do mafresh shumas and maizes. So obviously the apotropos is going to do it. So you see that the Torah was mamad of the yad apotropos is mamish ki yad katan, that the apotropos can do even things that the katan themselves can't do. So says the shach, when you're talking about an apotropos, you're talking about prayer for Beis Din. So you can't even be a kash in zechil and katan that zechil become shlichus. This is the exception to the rule. This is a zechiyah they based it. So says the shach, the whole Tosafot soup stuff in Aleph is not right. When the Gemara says that the Amar of Huda here katan avinu saw das based in, so based in means b'taras apotropos. That means that based in is being the guy of this katan. It's not an individual being the guy. Not just that a guy is jumping into the mikveh. Based in supervising this. So when based in is supervising the geiras, that's working b'taras apotropos. Apotropos, of course, the yesh zechiyah the katan. It's a very big pella, the shach. What the obvious pella? Kid's not Jewish. Why is it Arach Raya to be apotropos for the goyim? In Bishlam, when you have Yisrael, Yisrael, and then it's our problem. Then the Torah gives us the koyach of apotropos. The kid's not even Jewish, so hey, okay, so we're going to be his apotropos. That's not the pella. But that's what the shach is learning from that Gemara in Sukkos Daf Yud Aleph. So the whole place of beginning to end is wrong, says the shach. That this is based on the koyach of Beis Din. Once you invoke this idea that it's based on the koyach of Beis Din, so says the shach, now let's carry this over to Pidyon HaBen. So who's going to do the Pidyon HaBen on behalf of this katan? So if not, it could be just Tom, any Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to come and take 5 shekels out of his pocket and hand it over to a kohen and say, this little kid is padur. Then you run into problems of zechiyah and mitam shlichus, then it's zechiyah katan. Beis Din is going to supervise this. And when Beis Din supervises this, so the same way that Beis Din supervises the mechichel mem for the katan,
The same way Beis Din divides the Eretz Yisrael from the Klav. The same way Beis Din is Mafreshim and Mafreshim from the Klav. The same way Beis Din is Magaya the Ketana Magoyim. The Beis Din is going to be Poydeh, this child. So of course Beis Din has the Kerech to do it, says the Shach. You take this Mekasha from the Shlichus and Zichriya and Tichim and Klav. Tichim and Tichim and Tichim. That's absolutely wrong when you're dealing with the Kerech of Beis Din. So Beis Din is the trump card. Beis Din overrules all the regular limitations of Shlichus and Zichriya. So that's the third time that the Shach has against the Klav. We'll have to wait until tomorrow to get the fourth time and then to try to figure out the end of the story.